All rise. Have you risen? Are you a rose?
Why is Aaron Judge up? He's still on the DL.
Have you rose? Are you up for the bell? It is time for the Crunch Exchange, where I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports. Steve tells us if he's buying or selling. We begin with what I talked about yesterday. Cody Bellinger, who is on fire, arguably had one of the best March-Aprils in baseball history. From players in the first month of the season who have 10-plus home runs and their slash line was better than 400, 500, 890, Bellinger is in a group with 2004 Barry Bonds,
who
hit 472, 696, and OPS of 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, 1.132, lines than either of them. Bellinger's leading baseball in hits, runs, home runs, RBI, and the 2017 Rookie of the Year is making a strong case for NL MVP. Another competitor for that NL MVP crown is the dude who won it last year, Christian Yelich. Yelich is tied with Bellinger for the lead with home runs with 14, but Yelich has 13 of them at home. Bellinger, much more balanced, 9 homers at home, 5 on the road. With hundreds of games left in the season, we're still a couple months away from the All-Star break as well, where both of these kids are going to be putting on a show in Cleveland in the Home Run Derby. Interesting enough, though, while both players have 14 home runs through roughly 30 games, Yelich is on pace for 79 home runs, and Bellinger is on pace for 74. Look out, 1999, McGuire and Sofa, the kids are coming for you. The prospectus, Cody Bellinger leads the league in home runs by the All-Star break.
By the way, he also leads the league in batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, and my favorite one, sacrifice flies.
Nice!
He, that's just a tough park to hit homers in. So you're saying he's going to keep this lead in homers? I think he's going to dip off. I think he may, but man, the All-Star break's like a year away. That's like 2 months. So I'm going to sell that.
Jason Stark of The Athletic is not very optimistic about the chances we see Craig Kimbrell or Dallas Keuchel sign a major league contract anytime soon. This is thanks in large part to the basic agreement where teams get a compensation draft pick if their old players sign an MLB contract with another MLB team. This compensation pick can be awarded on or before the day of the draft. These picks end up being at the end of the first round. This year's draft is June 3rd. And while a first round pick sounds like a lot for the draft, it is the MLB draft, or even the most MLB-ready college players taken in the first round are still 2 to 3 years away from being MLB-ready. Clearly, there are teams that aren't interested in signing either of these players because they're horrible, and it's the good teams or teams that are just on the outside looking in that aren't making a move that makes things interesting. Could the Rays not use another talented left-handed starter or shut down the bullpen? Does no one in the NL East want to add either of these guys to have an extra weapon in their battle to win the division? Will teams wait another month to not give away a draft pick to the Sox or Stros, or will someone step in and take this talent that's simply collecting dust to help their team win? The prospectus, either Kimbrell or Keuchel are signed before June 3rd.
The Kimbrell thing, I could see he wasn't good in the postseason. You might not want to bring this guy in as your closer. Keuchel's a 30-year-old lefty starter.
Yes.
I mean, he's pitched in the American League his whole career. By the way, I finally figured out Houston's in the American League.
Oh, that's another one of the dollars that we keep forgetting. Every time you brought Gefton, what's the other pie? Oh, it's every time you say that the Astros play in the National League.
By the way, Gardner just popped up. The Yankees lost again to Arizona. I'm really pissed. But anyway, this is ridiculous. So the prospectus is they both are?
Either of them. Either of them signed before the draft on June 3rd.
I can't believe that it's going to be another month before somebody realizes we need a quality starter. So I think Keuchel will be signed. Kimbrell, I could see. So buy that.
Surprisingly, Steve, you've been incredibly positive about the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. Gordon Hayward is back. Kyrie Irving's playing like a superstar. Al Horford came out of nowhere to shut down my Greek Freak, and not to mention last year's postseason heroes Jason Tatum and Scary Terry Rozier and others. They held Giannis to his worst shooting performance of his MVP season in Game 1, and it looked like the fourth-seeded Celtics were going to be bringing one of the first shocking results of the playoffs. Then they fell apart in game two. Three of the Bucks had over 20 points. Chris Middleton went 7 of 10 for 3, and Giannis led the way with 13 of 18 shooting his free throws. The momentum is now in the hands of the Bucks, and with the MVP playing like the MVP, it's going to take three more of those all-world defensive performances from Al Horford, of all people, to have the Celtics move on. Do they have it in them? The prospectus, Boston takes down the Bucks.
That's an easy sell. They won home court advantage. I don't think Milwaukee's winning in Boston. It's over.
Wait. Wait, so you switched against Boston then?
No, you said Boston.
Yes, Boston takes down the Bucks, and you
yes.
sold it.
No, oh, I bought it. I meant Boston's winning the series. My bad. I misunderstood.
It's a very
There's a
question.
First, by the way.
Rockets-Warriors has the feel of an NBA Finals to it. It could actually be an NBA Finals matchup if the NBA took my 100% original idea of seeding the playoffs 1 through 16. It might have actually ended that way. Instead, these two super teams are meeting in the second round, and the officials were the storyline going into Game 2, but instead it was actually two fingers that took over the storyline in Oakland last night. One of the fingers was from Draymond Green that poked James Harden in the eye while going for a rebound. The other was the left-handed middle finger of Steph Curry. Curry very clearly dislocated or maybe even kind of broken his finger. And there was a nasty-looking photo that was flying around Twitter. And Harden was immediately turned into a meme when they showed his eyes red and watery. Being poked in the eye hurts a lot, and it takes a while for your eye to get better after that's happened. Having a hand injury, albeit a non-shooting hand injury, for a shooter who also has an injured ankle, also not ideal at all for the playoffs. Harden ended up only taking 19 shots, which was well under his average of 25.
Jeez.
Curry ended up taking 16, just under his average of 19 for the year. Clearly, these injuries had their impact on the game, but which one was worse? The prospectus, getting poked in the eye, is a worse injury than dislocating a finger.
Seeing seems kind of important.
Really?
We've seen guys actually tape two fingers together and still be able to play a hoop. So I'm going to buy that.
Should Harden bring up the rec specs for Game 3?
Oh, he... Well, who was it a couple of years ago? Was it Westbrook? He came out in like glasses. It's like, you don't wear glasses? What are you doing? He came out with these big black framed glasses that he didn't even wear. What a weirdo.
Last one, Brad Marchand has had a career year this year. His first ever 100-point season, career-high 64 assists, his fourth straight 30-goal season. He's talented enough that he was on the first line for Team Canada in the World Cup of Hockey in 2016 alongside Sidney Crosby. He's very good. He's also incredibly unlikable beyond the fact that he plays for Boston. He's tried to get into the heads of opponents by licking and kissing them in the past and been suspended 6 times in the last 7 seasons. In Game 1 against the Blue Jackets, he stomped on the stick of Columbus's Cam Atkinson after a faceoff, and last night he went back to his evil ways, throwing a cheap sucker punch at the back of the head of Columbus's Scott Harrington. This was a classic scrum at the net in a playoff hockey game. Marchand skated up behind Harrington, threw one punch and skated away as officials were dealing with players on the verge of fights on the other side of the net. The NHL reviewed this footage and said that there would be no suspension for the Bruins left wing, which is strange because it's a dirty, suspendable play from a player with a history of suspensions. Is this the NHL trying to give Boston as many breaks as they can so they can avoid what would be a ratings tank of Columbus, Carolina in the conference semifinals, or was this not worth a suspension? The prospectus, Brad Marchand should have been suspended for his sucker punch to the head.
You know, when I looked at it, first of all, and then I heard Bettman today talking about, well, you can't stop all blows to the head.
No, you
well, you
can't.
Can stop guys punching each other in the head.
You suspend a guy for punching someone in the head, and you say stop punching people in the head.
Yeah, a cheap shot to the head when you consider how the rules have been altered, particularly in the NFL, college football, and National Hockey League. He definitely should have got a game for that. And if you go to Hockey Reference and you look at his picture, he's got that smug kind of smirk. He should also get a game for that. So I'll buy that.